All right, gentlemen, as you might understand, we are delighted to be able to invite Rabbi Feigenbaum on board for our Seyus Yimei Teshuvah drasha. This is third year, right, Rabbi? Third year or fourth year that we've invited you on board this session?
I think it's the fourth year.
Fantastic. Well, we appreciate it, Rabbi. Rabbi Feigenbaum, I'm proud to say, is my rabbi, speaking in nautical terms, he absolutely steered me in the right direction in my years of doing tshuva. I'm forever indebted to Rabbi Feigenbaum. He's one of the most sensitive, sensitive men and rabbis I know. He's certainly a big Talmud Chacham, and he has done a world of good in a community in Dallas, Texas, to Makarv men and women. And people keep coming back for a reason, and you're about to witness that yourself. So I just want to remind everybody that this call is being recorded, that if you know or are aware that you will have some background noise, then you should do a *6 to mute yourself. Rabbi, if I have to interrupt you because I hear too much background noise, please understand my intention is to just to make it easier for everybody to hear us. So Rabbi Feigenbaum will be presenting us some 4 special tools to help us with growth. So without further ado, Rabbi Feigenbaum.
Thank you, David Chaim. And it's really a pleasure for me to be back and to have the privilege of addressing this very special group of Mevakshei Hashem, of people who desire Hashem and desire close to Hashem. I appreciate it, and I want to thank David Chaim, and I want to thank Yaakov for giving me this special opportunity, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should just bench you that all of your endeavors should be successful, the Beruchnius, the Gashmius, and that you should continue your Avodas HaKadosh.
Amen.
So this summer, I took a road trip with 3 of my sons, my oldest son and my 2 youngest sons. We took a road trip to several national parks, primarily in Utah. We started in Arches National Park, just the beauty, the sandstone arches, the balancing rock, just to see the Niflos HaBor, the wonders of Hashem, was phenomenal. From there, we went to Bryce Canyon, you know, standing at 8,000 feet, an altitude of 8,000 feet, looking over the canyon, the hoodoos, these stone pillars that come up. It was spectacular. Our main focus was Zion. We spent the most time in Zion National Park. Most national parks are at a peak. Zion's actually in the valley. The hikes, the waterfalls, the mountains, it was just the splendor. It was quite phenomenal. From there, we went to the north rim of the Grand Canyon, passed a herd of buffalo with baby buffalo on the way to the Grand Canyon. Just the Grand Canyon, I really don't have to say anything, just the majesty of the Grand Canyon was phenomenal. So we were on our heading back to Dallas, and we were going to stop in Carlsbad Caverns, which is a cave in southeast New Mexico. So we're leaving the Grand Canyon. We left the Grand Canyon, about noon. We decided that day we were going to push it to get as close to Carlsbad. It's quite a drive. Get as close to Carlsbad as we can. So we push it, we push it, we push it. Finally, we're getting as far as we're going to get that day. We want to find a hotel. We try to find a hotel in Roswell, New Mexico. So I'm sure many of you know that Roswell, New Mexico is the UFO capital of the world. It's unbelievable. The whole town's about 25 blocks. There's a whole bunch of hotels. You pull down the main thoroughfare there, and outside of the hotels, there's little aliens. They're there to greet you. I mean, it was brilliant. They built a whole industry out of these aliens and UFOs out of nothing. It's phenomenal. So we get to our hotel. We check in. We wake up the next morning. We're not in no particular rush. So my oldest son, Yaakov Yosef, my oldest son says to me, he says, you know, Tal, we can't be in Roswell, not go to the UFO museum. I said, you know, it's very true. We can't be here and not go to the UFO museum. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking maybe I could recruit some new members from my shul. It could be great. So we go. I have to tell you, it's the most ridiculous place I've ever been to. You have to see it. It's the most ridiculous place. Flying saucers, aliens being operated on. It's phenomenal. Mostly it's articles about UFOs and alien invasions and that resistance is futile and we may as well just succumb now. But it's incredible because it's all about nothing. No point, no purpose. We have to live with purpose. And we have to live dedicated. Dedicated to Hashem and dedicated to growth. In the Sefer Sifrei Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedlander, at the very beginning of the Sefer, he has a four-point plan. Derech Shel Aliyah. How do we grow? I'd like to list these 4 points and then spend the next few minutes going through them and expanding on them. So the first point, he writes, the first point in our four-point plan is Kabbalah's Bikoris or Bikoris Atzmus, accepting criticism or the ability to self-criticize. Second point, Lo Leisya'ish Ekev Kishlonos, not to give up even when you've stumbled and fallen. Third, L'kayim B'poyo Mashalomdim, internalizing and putting into practice that which we've learned. And the fourth, V'chol Matzav Yesh L'Avodas Hashem, in all circumstances, I have to serve Hashem. The four-point plan. Go back to that first point. Kabbalah's Bikoris and Bikoris Atzmus. Accepting criticism and the ability to self-criticize. He writes, Yisod HaKdamnus V'Avodas Hashem Kabbalah's Bikoris. The fundamental principle in serving Hashem and pushing yourself forward in your service of Hashem is accepting criticism. If I'm completely satisfied with my state, then why should I get better? We all need to get better. When we're criticized, what happens? Immediately, our defenses go up. Now, if you're telling me what to do, you know, you're not so perfect yourself. But who made you so from? Those are the things that we go through in our minds if we don't actually verbalize them. I have to focus on what's being said, not by whom or how it's being said, but what's the message? We all know there's a Chazon Ish in these situations that we all like to rely on. The Chazon Ish writes that we're not bekiyim, we're not experts in giving tochacha, which gives us a little bit of a p'tur. It gives us a little bit of an exemption from having to give tochacha from rebuking or criticizing others. But that's going on the person criticizing. When we're criticized, we don't rely on that Chazon Ish. I have to hear the message. What's the message? Forget how it's being said. Forget who it's being said by. Is the message valid or is it not? Is it something that I need to work on or is it not something that I need to work on? I have to focus on that message so that I can get better. But the more effective bikoris, the more effective criticism is self-criticism. Let me look at myself, honesty, with personal integrity, not beat myself up. Look into my real potential. Look what I've accomplished, my successes, and where I've fallen short. Know what I can and I should accomplish, what I can and I should do better. Look at myself and remind myself that I matter. That from the time Hashem created the world until now, there's been no one else, no one, with my tafkid. That I can overcome my weaknesses by using my strength. And this is a key point. Let me overcome my weaknesses by using my strength. Take someone who's a hothead. This is an example. We could use any mida. I can go to any character trait in this, and it all works. Take someone who's a hothead. We all know hotheads. Almost all hotheads that I know are incredibly passionate people. They have a lot of passion. What happens? They get angry, and their passion is directed in the wrong direction. They're directing it to cough. They're directing it to anger instead of something else. If they would take that positive need of passion that they have, and they would channel it in the right direction, they would channel it in serving Hashem, they'd be able to overcome their caste. They'd be able to overcome their anger. It's not easy. It's not easy, but it's doable. We can accept criticism. We can look into ourselves, know what our real potential is, know that Hashem believes in us, and know that we have the ability to overcome what's in front of us and know that we can change, we can grow, we can get better. That's point one. Kabbalah's Bikoris accepting criticism, the ability to self-criticize. Number two, Ein l'yayish ekev kishlonos. Don't give up because of past failures. In the NBA last year, the combined...
Rabbi, before you continue, I think I will do a master mute, so I'll need you to do a star six to unmute yourself. Gentlemen, please stay muted if you don't mind.
Can you hear me? Now, none of you can answer because you're all muted.
Yes, we can hear you.
In the NBA last year, the combined free throw percentage was 0.757. You're welcome to check up on this. But it was 0.757, which means 25% of the time, NBA players failed to make a free throw. That means no one was guarding them. They're professionals. And roughly 25% of the time, the ball don't go into the basket. Now, I know someone that traveled a lot, was friendly with the coach of the Phoenix Suns, and used to go when he would be in Phoenix, he would work out with them. So at the end of every practice, it's Dover Yadu, it's known, that the NBA players, they shoot 100 free throws. He said the good players would make 97, 98 of them. The lousy free throw shooters, the guys in games that shot 55, 65%, they'd make 92 of them. He asked one of them. He said, I don't get it. In practice, you're making 92 free throws. Why in a game are you missing half of them? And he looked at him, and he pointed to his head, and he said, it's all in the head. It's all in the head. We all fail. No one bats 1,000. The question isn't, will we always be successful, will we always be perfect? The question is, when we fail, when I fail, what do I do? The pasuk says, Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. The tzadik gets up, the tzadik falls 7 times and gets up. The pasuk could have said, Sheva yipol v'kama tzadik. After falling 7 times, the person gets up and now they're a tzadik. It doesn't say that. It says, Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. The tzaddik falls 7 times and gets up. Afil b'shas nefila nikra tzaddik. Even at that moment of collapse, that moment of failure, Hashem still calls you a tzaddik. Look at yourself that way. It's all in the head. How do we look at ourselves? The Stipler writes, and this is very important, Shesod ha'tzlach hibitos ha'nefila. The secret of success is at that moment, in those moments of failure. Why? He continues. There's a tremendous benefit for these failings. The natural state of a person, when it comes to their money, when it comes to their other taivas, their other desires, they're not satisfied. But when it comes to ruchnias, spirituality, to serving Hashem, then I have the feeling, Samech v'chelki, I'm very happy with my portion, with my lot. And as long as he sees that his level is secure, he doesn't seek to improve it. He doesn't seek to add Kedusha. He can quickly become rote. But when he falls, he fails. He sees that which is in his hands has been undermined, is slipping away. Then he fights back. Then he goes full force to save himself from these failings. He picks himself up to a higher level. And even if this goes on for year after year, the battle continues. Falling, failing, getting up. Falling, failing, getting up. Falling, failing, getting up. It goes on for year after year. It's Avodas HaKodesh. You're fighting the good fight. You're serving Hashem in those battles. Nimsa Shirita Zutzarach Aliyah. That it turns out that this Yerida, this slope, they're Derech Aliyah. They're a way to pick you up. At that moment of Yerida, at that moment of failing, we have to ask ourselves, how did I get here? How did I get here again? What triggered it? What thought process did I have that was lacking that put me here? And most important, how do I fight my way out of this? This summer, at the beginning of the war, I saw a video clip of soldiers right at the border of Gaza, in the staging area. Their faces were painted. Some were on their way into battle, some were on their way out of battle. Young kids, and they were singing. They were singing songs of emunah, of belief in Hashem, of not to be afraid, and lo lehis yaish, and not to give up. We have to sing that song. Not to be afraid of our yetzer hara, not to be afraid of past failures, not to be afraid of what's inside of us, but to build on them and to never, never, never give up. That's point number two. Lo lisyayish, ekev kishlonos. Not to give up due to past failures. Number three. L'kayim b'poyo ma shelomdim. To put into practice what we learn. The key to growth, the key to avoda is limud haTorah. It's learning Torah. But it's not just learning. We say every day in davening, Avinu Avarachamon, Amirachem, Rachem Aleinu, our Father, merciful Father who acts mercifully, have mercy on us. The same V'libin L'Avin L'Haskil, instill in our hearts to understand, to elucidate. Shmaya Lomod L'Lamed, to learn, to listen, to learn, to teach. Lishmar V'Lasos of the Kaimus called Divrei Salmutzar Asecha B'Ava, to safeguard, perform, and fulfill all the words of your Torah's teachings with love. The Shlach Kodesh writes, and he's quoted by many of the Mefarshei HaSidur, that when a person learns on Manas L'Kayim, when we learn in order to fulfill, in order to put into practice, that's Limud L'Shma. Then we're learning for the right reasons, we're learning for Hashem's sake. The Shachan Yeredeya quotes a Prisha, that the Iker learning has to go from the Gemara to the Halacha. So that we understand from what we're learning that it's not just esoteric, I have to put it into practice. And he quotes the famous Tana de Velio, whoever studies halacha, Torah laws, every day, they're guaranteed a portion in the world to come. I once heard from my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Aaron Schechter Shlita, that just like in our physical bodies, is ingested through the head and circulates through the heart, so too in our ruchnius, our sustenance is ingested through the head, through learning, through limud haTorah, but it can't stay there. It has to spread through the body, through actions. When I put into practice what I learn, then I'm attaching my head to my heart. Rachmana liba boy. Hashem wants our hearts. And in the words of the Ramban, the Chashir Tokum in HaSefer, when you rise up from learning, from study, techabes v'asher lamantim yeshbo davar shetucha l'kaima, look into what you've learned. Think about it. Is there something within it that you can put into practice? Some mitzvah, some halacha, some midah, some character trait that you can improve yourself, that you could put into practice. Point number three, l'kayim b'poyo ma shelomdim, to put into practice what we learn. The fourth step, b'chol matzav yesh la'avodas Hashem. In every situation, we have to serve Hashem. So picture the following scenario. A nice house with a white picket fence, fantastic marriage, great job that you only have to spend 9 to 5 days a week. Wonderful children, no bills, no debts, no challenges, no tests. Fantasy Island. That's not the real world. Right? Every day I go into the office and there's someone that's trying to cheat me. And it would be so easy for me to cheat them back just to regain what they've taken from me. Am I allowed to? I'm solicited regularly at work. I bill by the hour. Everyone exaggerates their hours to get their hours up. Can I? I've been asked to broker a deal that I'll be sifting to bring out an immoral business. Am I allowed to? I'm upset, frustrated. My wife is constantly nagging that I'm never home. My husband's disconnected. My parents are sick and they need help. My wife doesn't give me the time of day. No matter how hard I work, how much effort I put in, at the end of the month I'm always short, I'm always behind. My children are self-centered and disrespectful. I'm tired, burnt out, and I just want a break. Right? This is real life. That's real life scenarios. We live in a difficult world. I'm just talking about our little bubble of the world. And then there are real world problems that weigh on me. The never-ending cycle of violence in Eretz Yisrael. Global jihad that seems to be getting stronger and stronger and closer and closer. When nuclear Iran isn't at the top of the list of worries, it weighs on me. The ever-moving morality of the secular world, how it will affect me and my children. Will my children be prepared physically, monetarily, spiritually for the world, the high cost of living that it costs to be a frum yid? It weighs on me. Most of us don't have all of these challenges, but all of us have some, if not most, of these challenges. How do we continue to be Oved Hashem, to truly serve Hashem in the face of so much? We have mitzvahs ma'asiyos, action-based mitzvahs, and mitzvah shebalev, heart-based mitzvahs. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva that the highest levels attainable are within the mitzvah shibaleiv, the heart-based mitzvahs. Rabbeinu Yonah lists 11 of them. It's worth looking at. I'm going to talk about two of them. The first one, he lists uvacharta v'chaim, choose life. Then one of the next ones that he lists are tamim tiyem Hashem alokecha, be whole with Hashem, the mitzvah of bitachon, of trust in Hashem. Now if you'll say to me, don't talk to me about high levels. I don't want to get to high levels. I want to get through the day without having done anything wrong. I want a little bit of a break, a little peace, a little tranquility. I'd ask you just to hear me out. Rav Shimshon Ophel Hirsch writes in Chorev, and please pay close attention to this. He writes on the mitzvah of Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, be wholehearted with Hashem. Your life has a twofold aspect, what happens to you and what comes from you, what you receive and what you produce, your lot and your actions, with both. And with every fraction of both, you must feel yourself immediately under God. Your lot proceeds directly from God, so live your life directly for God. God causes you to be born at such a time, in such a place, of such parents, in such an environment. He brings you into contact with such and such men, gives you such and such friends, such teachers, equips you with such faculties, both of body and of mind, places you in such a position in life. He gives you all this as a means with which to carry out his will. Everything which falls to you, you owe directly to God. And again, it's his will alone that you should fulfill with all that you have. Should, not must. For whether you really fulfill it depends entirely on yourself. As our sages teach us, Hakol bidei shemayim chutz miyirah shemayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for fear of heaven. Everything is God's. Only your heart is yours. We look at our regular challenges. And speaking to this special group, those challenges are real. But we look at our regular challenges as roadblocks, detriments, items in the way of our service of Hashem. It's the opposite. The opposite is true. Yes, it might be easier if we didn't have them, but we do. And they're real. Most of you spend most of your day at work. There are numerous opportunities every day to connect with Hashem without changing what you're doing. This is where the heart comes in. Your heart comes in. Rabbeinu Yonah starts his list of acharta v'chayim. Choose life. Not choose mitzvahs. Not choose the right thing. Choose life. I have a huge moral challenge in front of me. A challenge in honesty, integrity, promiscuity, trust, lust. Uvacharta v'chayim. The key to this choosing life is, how do I look at the challenge? Do I look at it as my loss? What I don't get by not giving in? If I frame it in the negative, what I don't do, what I don't get, it's more difficult to overcome and more difficult to feel a connection to Hashem, because in my mind, I'm only giving up, I'm only sacrificing. But if I frame it in the positive, it has a completely different effect on me. The challenge hits you. I'm choosing life, choosing closeness with Hashem. I'm choosing Kedusha. Now, I won't view myself as giving something up. I'll view myself as gaining. I'm gaining something. I'm connecting with Hashem. I'm getting closer to Hashem. Yeah, I'm paying for it. There's a cost. But it's well worth it. The challenges, the nishonos that we have, these tests, they aren't roadblocks. They're opportunities. Numerous opportunities every day. But I have to reframe it. I have to reframe how I look at these things. I can't look at them in the negative, what I'm not doing. I have to look at what I am doing, how I am connecting. Rachmana libaboy. Hashem wants our hearts. They're real challenges, real tests. Who put them there? Who gave us these tests? We can't forget that. A few weeks ago, one of the guys in shul, the wonderful guy, the regular guy in shul, he told me he had the following test. He was supposed to have some money wired to him. It's a Friday afternoon. He was supposed to have some money wired to him. Not an insignificant amount of money, not all the money in the world, but money that would make a difference. The money was supposed to be wired to him. Someone in his office made a mistake, and they wired it to someone else. And it looked like the money was gone. Now he has two options. to be furious at the person who messed up, angry, steaming, fuming. And we know you drive home, it's a Friday afternoon, you're fuming. You walk into the house, your wife sees you're mad, she thinks you're mad at her, so now she gets mad. Now all the children see that both parents are mad, they think it's them, so now they get upset. Then you don't want to learn, you don't want to daven, you want to go to shul, Shabbos is ruined. That's option A. Option B. Hashem set this up. Hashem wanted that money wired somewhere else. Yes, it's difficult, but this is my way to get close. Uvachata v'chayim, choose life. Option B was chosen. Didn't even mention to his wife that the money was wired somewhere else. Option B was chosen. He told me. He felt so good after that, so close to Hashem, because he was thrown a test, a difficult test. It's a person that he's had his share of debt, he's had his share of parnasa issues. But he was thrown that test, and he passed, and he felt so close. V'charta v'chayim. Choose life. To do this, to accomplish this, we have to take our growth, our avodah, we have to take it seriously. We have to be conscious of it at all times. It sounds so simple, but we have to remember, right? Who put us there? Who put us in this situation? And that we can grow through our daily challenges, everyday challenges, we can grow. Hashem wants our hearts, and our hearts are pulled in so many different directions. But as the Shem Shon HaFor HaHorsh explained, it's our hearts that we own. We have to own our hearts. We have to own our avodah. We have to own our service of Hashem. We have to put our hearts back into it. The Ramban writes on the pasuk, Ki karav elecha hadavar ma'od, b'fichal uvavcha la'asoso, that this mitzvah, the mitzvah of tshuva, it's very close to you. It's within your mouths. It's within your hearts to fulfill. The Ramban writes, Ki af b'yosem b'eretz oyveyan, even when you're in the land of your enemies, the galus and exile, and nidachem and nefutzim, we're pushed away, spread out. Yechol heim lashu, we can still do tshuva. B'chol makam shehem, wherever we are. Avim hayu b'sofa olam, even at the end of the world. Karav elecha davar ma'od lasoso. It's close to us. The mitzvah of tshuva, it's close to us. We can bring ourselves close to Hashem. Shetaskim machshavtcha. If we agree, we consent in our minds, v'tigmar b'libecha, and accept in our hearts, v'tisvadu v'picha, we confess in our mouth. I saw this Ramban, and I was almost crying. Who's the Ramban talking about? When he's talking about at the end of the world, he's talking about us. Physically, chronologically, at the end of the world, living in a world devoid of spirituality. Who's pushed, pulled, spread out, more distracted than our generation? Who has more everyday moral, spiritual challenges than we do? But ki karav elecha adavar ma'od. But it's close to us. We can be close to Hashem. Rachmana liba boy. Hashem wants our hearts. Rosh Hashanah for Hirsch also writes, let the consciousness of your mission penetrate you through and through. We have a mission. Let that penetrate us through and through. Be ever conscious that the same God who prescribed the sun, the path of the light ray, the development of the worm, has in his Torah also given you the law of your life. And with this consciousness, live in God's creation. Rejoice in the lot that he's given you. Accept your challenge, your challenge. Own it. Own your Yiddishkeit. Own your avodah. Own your heart. And dedicate it to the service of Hashem. There's a four-point plan. Accept criticism to self-criticize. Don't give up. Put into practice what you learn, and serve Hashem in all situations. It was Erev Yom Kippur, 1945. General Eisenhower, who had just liberated Europe, was visiting the DP camps. A meeting was arranged between General Eisenhower and the Klausenberger Rebbe. The Rebbe is being taken to go meet General Eisenhower. Famous Lieutenant Birnbaum was going to be there, was going to translate the meeting. As the Rebbe is walking to go meet the general, someone hands the Rebbe a talus. Takes the talus, puts on the talus. People start crying because they hadn't seen a year, they hadn't seen a Rebbe in a talus in years. The Rebbe goes to greet General Eisenhower. They greet. And the Rebbe thanks General Eisenhower for being Hashem's shliach, Hashem's messenger, for liberating the Jews. And then the Rebbe tells General Eisenhower to record what's happened. Make sure that history knows about it, because one day in the not-so-distant future, people will deny that it ever happened. General Eisenhower knew of what happened to us in Europe. The general looks at the Rebbe, and he asks the Rebbe, "What can I get for you?" General Eisenhower at that moment was one of the most powerful men in the world, and arguably the most powerful man in Europe. The Rebbe could have asked for anything. He could have been asked, "Take me out of here, send me to Eretz Yisrael, send me to America tomorrow." It would have been done. It would have been nothing for Eisenhower to do that. The Rebbe looks at General Eisenhower, and he tells him, "Our holiday of Sukkot is less than a week away. We need the Dalet Minim. We need the four species in order to be able to celebrate our holiday. Can you help us?" That day, a military plane was dispatched to Italy to bring back several sets of Lulavim, several sets of Dalet Minim, so that these people could rebuild their broken spirits and rededicate themselves to Hashem. Like the Klausenberger Rebbe, we have to serve Hashem in all situations. Our tshuva is to embrace our individual challenge, real challenges, hard challenges, to embrace it with our heart and allow them to bring ourselves closer to Hashem. When we dedicate ourselves to this, when we put into practice these 4 points, of accepting the criticism, of being able to self-criticize, to not give up no matter how hard it gets, no matter how many times we failed, but to not give up, to put into practice what we learn, and in all situations to serve Hashem, that Hashem will look down at us in a few days from now. Hashem will look down at us and He'll say the words that we're yearning for, "Salachti, I forgive you." Gemar Chasima Tova.
Wow. Rabbi Feigenbaum, thank you so much for those inspiring words. The way you always manage to address our audience, you know, knowing the challenges that we are dealing with, and bringing forward a message from Torah that resonates with us that are learning something like the Big Book. It's a real treat to have you. I know that, guys, we have the opportunity to ask Rabbi a few questions.
Absolutely.
We have some time to be with us. So I'd like to open it up. I did a master mute a little bit earlier, so if you need to star six yourself to unmute yourself, you're welcome to do so. The call is continuing to be recorded. I believe it's beneficial for future listeners to hear the kind of questions and the answers that Rabbi Feigenbaum will give. So you're welcome to keep your anonymous name. Please, any questions for Rabbi Feigenbaum?
For David Chaim, a question: how could I get a copy of the tape of the conversation of his drasha?
Well, on the Guard Your Eyes website will be instructions how to listen to a recording. I will be emailing everybody those instructions, and it'll be the most recent recording, obviously, on that list. You'll see the dial-in number, so that's pretty simple.
It should be on my shul's website also by this afternoon.
Which shul?
Or HaTorah in Dallas. It's OHTD.org.
Thank you.
Not there yet, but it should be by this afternoon, if not tomorrow. It won't be this actual one. Is one that I did a few nights ago, but it's the same.
OHTD.org, right?
OHTD.org.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay, good. Chevra, would like to invite some questions around the presentation, please.
I don't believe that no one has any questions.
Just typical shyness. Perhaps if you are muted, you need to do a star six to unmute yourself, since there was a master mute done earlier. I'll begin then. I'll invite people to join me with questions of Rabbi Feigenbaum. Rabbi, you talked in your first part of the drasha about self-criticism. Looking personally and talking to many of the men on the call, one of the hardest things for us to do as addicts is step four, which is the, they call it the moral inventory, to take inventory. We feel like we will ultimately be criticizing ourselves and putting ourselves down and feeling so much shame when we take this step. How can we take such a bold step, such a necessary step in order to grow, in order to do the tshuva, especially in the matzav we have, without feeling that, number one, that we're dirt or trash, and number two, that God is going to be disgusted with what we share?
It's a great question. The first, some of the first words of vidui that we say are ashamnu, which the simple translation, there are many other translations than this.
Elisha!
Hello?
I'm sorry, there may be interruptions as we go, as people unmute. But so guys, if you do have background noises or you're shouting for your child, you may choose to keep yourself muted with the star six. So yes, Rabbi, go ahead, please.
So the simple definition of Hashem is that we're guilty. So guilt is a very dangerous emotion. And I have seen brought down in numerous places that guilt is only something that we're supposed to feel if it brings us to tshuva. When a person emphasizes and wallows in their guilt, they're not doing what Hashem wants you to do. Guilt is supposed to inspire us. I was guilty. I did the wrong thing. Now I need to change. I can't spend too much time in that guilt. I have to know that it's there and then very quickly move away from it, because if I wallow in it, then I get caught up in it and I don't get out of it. And I just stay there. And that's not what Hashem wants. That's not tshuva. Tshuva is getting out of it. Yeah, I did something wrong. Now I have to get out of it. Now I have to move forward. Beginning of Kippur, where we focus on our Averis, many, certainly many of the Chassidish Svarim, but I also saw this, Nassim Wachvogel in Litvish Svarim, that you can't wallow in your Averis. He said, don't spend the whole day in Shmutz. Kadosh Baruch was cleaning us that day. So yeah, I have to recognize what I've done wrong. I have to mention it. Now move on. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah begins the Sodat Tshuva. Says that every day, look at just today's a new day. It's brand new. I don't have schus or chova. I don't have good or bad. Today is like I'm born. Now, what do I want to make this day into?
Rabbi, I had heard a very reassuring remark here describing the reset button as it could be described, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does during our transformation, turning from 5774 to 5775. I found it very, very reassuring to know that we can clean the slate and move forward in spite of what holds us back. It's that what holds us back, such a challenge for us, Rabbi. How would you address that?
It is a challenge. And then anyone that tells you that it's not a challenge doesn't understand what you're going through. It is a challenge. It's a real challenge. I think you have to embrace the challenge. Recognize that the challenge is there. But with Hashem's help, you can overcome that challenge. And He wants to help you. You say, I'm just calling out a machzor. We're going to say in a few days. End of Ne'ilah. End of the Shemona Esrei of Ne'ilah. The Atah Nosen Yad L'Poshim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you put out your hand to those that have sinned woefully. Yumincha Pshuta L'Kabel Shavim. Your right hand is extended to accept those people that want to do tshuva. That's what we have to focus on. I have a real challenge. But I have a great partner. I have a partner who wants me to do well, who's willing to pick me up, who wants to help me through this. That's what we have to focus on.
Excellent. Beautiful. Okay, Chavra, please join me in any of your questions for Rabbi Feigenbaum.
David?
Yes, please. I heard someone check in. It sounds like Brant. Brant, did you have a question for Rabbi Feigenbaum?
Yes. Yes, they
okay,
did.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Hold on. We hear you, whoever said hello.
Yes.
Brant was trying to ask a question. I'm not sure that...
Yes, I want to ask a question, please. How do I understand Hashem? I mean, I know we don't ask questions on Hashem, why this happened and why that bad thing, but how do I understand that if I wasted 20 years on addiction, why Hashem gave this to me? Meaning, when I was in the act of addiction, I was literally powerless, and I didn't even know that I'm sick. I didn't... How do I understand? Like, it's like we know Hashem doesn't want to hurt us, but subconsciously that's what happens. So that's what happens.
How do we understand that? No. The main tefillah on Yom Kippur really is the Yod Yom Yiras Harachamim. Hashem's 13 attributes of Hashem's mercy. The mitzvah is vidui, but the main tefillah is the Yod Gimel Midas Harachamim. If you look in Parshas Kisisa, and you look at the whole conversation that Moshe Rabbeinu has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu before Hashem tells him, the Yod Gimel Midas shows him, the Yod Gimel Midas Harachamim, it's a phenomenal conversation. Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem, Harenu Na'es Kvodecha, I want to see you. Hashem says, Lo Yoani Adam V'chai. No, you're not going to see me and live. He says, but I'm going to go to this mountain. You'll see my back, you won't see my front. What's the whole conversation? My six-year-old knows that you can't see Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know that. Moshe Rabbeinu was asking Hashem. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu asking Hashem? What was Hashem answering him? Moshe Rabbeinu was asking Hashem, I want to understand why you do what you do in this world. I want to understand how the whole thing works. Hashem said, Lo Yirani Adam V'chai. You can't understand that while you're still alive. You're too limited. But the Ra'is is Acharai. Only looking back over time, which we don't know exactly when that time comes, only then will you understand. But Ufanai Lo Yirahu. You can't, while you're going through it, you can't understand it. So we can't fully understand that. We know Hashem has a reason. He has a reason for it, and this is not a great answer that I'm giving you. But we, you know, it's part of a plan. Sometimes we look at our lives only as ourselves. But Klal Yisrael has to go through certain things to bring the world to where it's supposed to be. Klal Yisrael goes through these challenges, through these difficulties, which means that individual members of Klal Yisrael, and you have to look at yourself that you went through a terrible suffering, terrible pain, real pain. Maybe that was on behalf of Klal Yisrael.
Wow, that was a tough question. Tremendous answer there. Rabbi, as you can see, Rabbi Feigenbaum can take the tough questions. Bring them on, please, guys.
Rabbi, this is Brant. I'll try again. While I struggled with some of the Hebrew, I felt that, and this is more of a comment than a question, I felt that your fourth point about putting God first, or as I like to say, putting God in the middle of everything I do, is really the answer to all my problems today. And thank you for your inspirational speech. It was very, very reinforcing, and that particular point resonated with me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rabbi?
Yes?
Yes,
go ahead, please.
My question is, I've found that since joining the program, the fellowship, I find it very hard to read regular Musa Sforim, Sforim which speak about the severity of sin, and I find that very... I find it very frightening, and just it doesn't do it for me.
Don't.
But on the other hand, so I've been avoiding it. But on the other hand, it's part of Torah. It's part of Torah, knowing severity of the Avera and knowing knowing about the consequences of one's actions.
Only if it's going to improve you. Only if it's going to make you stronger. You're going through a unique difficulty. That's not what the Musar Svarim are designed for. It's not what they're geared for. So if it pulls you down, then it's having the exact opposite effect than it's supposed to. So don't learn it. That goes into the getter of Ein Adam Lamed Ela Mashali B'Chofetz. A person can only learn what their heart attaches to. I wouldn't try to force that. No different than to one person, you know, Mitzil Shisharim speaks to, one person Shari Tshuva speaks to. So the person that Mitzil Shisharim doesn't speak to, you don't tell him to learn Mitzil Shisharim. Here also, if the regular Musar Svarim are having a negative effect, you shouldn't learn them. That doesn't mean not to learn. It just means that you have to focus in other areas.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Rabbi, you know, one of the topics, or rather, I'm sorry, one of the issues that's been brought up to me has been the whole Yom Kippur experience, where it seems that we do so much of our, you know, beating up on ourselves. You know, the vidui, the admissions, the whole part of that leaves, I've had guys call me that say that it leaves them feeling so depressed, so down on themselves. Perhaps the rabbi can elaborate on that, because I heard sources given over about how that's really quite the opposite intention, and how tshuva through ahava is our ultimate goal. Can you elaborate on that a moment, please, Rabbi?
Yes. Yom Kippur is the happiest day of the year. That's where everyone has to start. It's the happiest day of the year. Just by a quick yes or no, any Star Wars fans on the call?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So when Luke first goes to Yoda, Yoda tells him he has to unlearn. You have to unlearn certain things that you've done. We have to unlearn certain attitudes that we have towards Yom Kippur. Most of us as children, Yom Kippur is the worst day of the year. It's a miserable day. Can't really eat what I want. Even though I'm not fasting yet, I can't really eat what I want. I'm stuck in shul a whole day. My parents are totally distracted. It's a terrible day. That's most of us, how we grew up feeling Yom Kippur. The opposite is true. Yom Kippur is the most beautiful and the happiest day of the year that we get to get out of the mess that we're in. Hashem is willing to take us out of this mess. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes, "Mina tovos asher heitiv lanu abor yisroch shmo." One of the greatest gifts that Hashem gave us is the gift of tshuva and the gift of Yom Kippur. That's how we have to look at it. And don't spend the day beating yourself up. You have to say vidui. Say vidui and then focus on the kedusha, on the tahara. Focus on the kiva yom hazeh yechaper aleichem v'tayir eschem, that on this day Hashem is going to cleanse you. He's going to be metayir you, purifying you. That you're lifnei Hashem. You're together with Hashem. No barriers. That's what we have to focus on Yom Kippur. The joy of it. Yes, I'm not eating. Yes, there's other things that I'm not doing. But I'm bringing myself closer. One day a year, I get to be a malach. See, that has to be the focus of it.
Wow. Beautiful. All right, Hevra, one last question for Rabbi Feigenbaum, so please feel free to ask. If you have some background noise or scratching, whatever, please mute yourself. Otherwise, anybody else with another question for Rabbi Feigenbaum on these or any of your thoughts or topics?
Hello, Boteach here.
Yes, Boteach. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you, Rabbi Feigenbaum. Just one question, please. This it might be just me, it might be other people might feel this as well. I find that the higher I go in Madrega, especially thanks to this program, and the more the eighth horror says to me, then when I'm doing just right, I'm going to get you now. And that's got that time, he forces things into my mind that I don't have to think of, and I actually feel my Madrega going down.
Speak a drop slower so that I can understand.
Sorry. Yeah. The higher I go in Madrega, the more I feel that the eighth horror say to me, you're higher now, I'm going to get you. He pushes a horrible, disgusting thought in my mind that physically brings me down in Madrega. How could, it's like, the more, it's like you're at the top of a building and the eighth horror says you jump. How could one of, how does one deal with such thoughts?
That's a great question. It's a great question because part of it is that as we grow, so does our yetzer hara. So that what you're saying is a very normal thing. So I think there's a few ways to address it. One is to know that it's coming. Know that it's coming. Sometimes we think I'm going to hit another level and I'm not going to have any more tests. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Expect the test. The test's coming. The other is, know that now that you're growing in Madrigas, that you can handle that test. You have the ability, and send to Hashem to help. And this is where I think the reframing changes it. When we reframe it, you have a test. It's a hard one. Right? And you want to give in to it. Because that's the norm. That's how we're wired. To give in to it. You want to give in to it. And you say, okay, but I'm not going to give in to it. And then I look at it as, what am I giving up? Don't look at it. Reframe it. Frame it in the positive. This test is bringing me closer to Hashem. This test is giving me Kedusha. This test is putting me at one with Hashem, which is my goal, which is what I want. If we reframe it that way, I'm not saying easy. Easy doesn't come into play. It's not easy, but it's easier.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi Feigenbaum, and thank you, Chevra.
I just want to say one last thing, though, Chaim.
Thank you, David.
I want to give everyone a bracha. You should continue your avodas hakodesh. What you're doing, and the battles that you're fighting, are absolutely incredible. And that I truly feel that the battles that you overcome, it's a hatzalah for Klal Yisrael. You're saving Klal Yisrael. We know that there are so many gzeiras that go against. And the only way that we're mevatel gzeiros are when people really truly are fighting them, are fighting the Yetzer Hara, they're fighting to do what Hashem wants, and that's what you all are doing, and that's Hatzalah for Klal Yisrael. So thank you.
Amen.
Continue your avoda.
Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Rabbi. Feinstein.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi.
You are very welcome.
And please,
thank you, David.
You're welcome. And if any of you have questions you chose not to ask, I'm taking a liberty here, Rabbi, but if you have a question you'd like me to submit to Rabbi Feigenbaum, I'll do my best to get the answer for you. Gentlemen, as we go forward here into the Yom Kippur here very shortly, I want to wish everybody a Gemar Chasima Tova, beautiful new year. 5775 really has the opportunity to be the best year for all of us.
Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi, for helping us reframe our view towards and help us continue that forward-looking attitude. All the best, everybody. Zai Gazak.
Happy New Year.